less and accomplish more. I mean, that's our whole purpose, that you and I can get a hold of some principles that can help us to do better in life and with life. Now, I want to tell you, next Sunday, I'm going to wrap this up. Next Sunday, we're talking about life symbols. And there's defining moments in people's lives in the Bible and in your lives. I mean, we're talking defining moments that we want to remember. They're called life symbols, and we'll be talking about that as we wrap this up. But today is habit number 7. And the title of today's message is Seed the Clouds. Seed the Clouds. Now, you may be thinking, what exactly is that? I'll explain it in a bit. But habit number 7 is all about something we do today that will give us and return to us a better tomorrow. Here's the big idea. The big idea is sow today what you want to see tomorrow. In other words, what is it that you and I can plant in the way of a seed today so that tomorrow there'll be a harvest or a return on it? Makes no difference your age. You can be young, middle age, or up in years. If you want a better tomorrow, you and I need to learn to sow today to seed the clouds. Think of the clouds, reference as your future. And we seed them today so we can have a better tomorrow. I want to share a story. His name is Vincent Schaefer. November 13th, 1946. A plane took off from Schenectady County Airport with a rather unique payload, 6 pounds of dry ice. Its mission? To seed the clouds with solidified carbon dioxide in hopes of creating enough condensation to cause precipitation. This guy apparently had worked for GE, and he had been experimenting months before of trying to create a chemical reaction in the air. And so after this experimentation, he took off in his single propeller airplane. 6 pounds of dry ice got to his desired level, and he let it out. He just dumped it into the air, into the clouds. It says eyewitnesses on the ground said that the clouds seemed to explode. The snowfall was visible for 40 miles. And so this dry ice with the chemical reaction in the clouds just exploded, and it produced snowfall when he seeded the clouds with it. When you think of your life, I want you to think of your tomorrows as the cloud. And you and I have opportunities today to seed the cloud. In other words, we may not plant dry ice, but we want to put something into that cloud so that tomorrow there might be something that just makes our life better. You know what God's goal is for your life? That you become the best version of you possible. You know who's in charge of that? You are. And if you want a better tomorrow, we must learn how to seed the clouds. So as I thought about what is it we can plant or seed today that makes us for a better tomorrow, there's so many things. I mean, there really are. But I'm going to give you 4 this morning. And these 4 categories are within reach of each person here. And it's all about a habit of seeding intentionally so that tomorrow can be better. And that's where we're going this morning in the message. So if you have your sermon listening guide, and by the way, I did some reading, and actually in Colorado, they do this. You know, they hope as they seed the clouds with certain types of chemical reaction, it can create snowfall for the skiing country, and they hope for a 10 to 25% increase or output when they do this. It's an amazing thing. It's scientific, but it actually does work. So Let's talk today. Let me show you a picture. I'll have Allison put it up. This is something I just got off the internet. The plane takes off, point one, flies into the cloud, releases whatever it is they're going to release, and then step four, snow or precipitation results when they seed the cloud. Pretty cool concept. Get a visual of that for your own life. The things you can do today that's going to create something better for tomorrow. So let's get started. Number one in your notes. The first kind of seed everybody here can sow for a better tomorrow is this. Humility catalyzes God's favor. Humility. We're talking about this thing called humility can somehow, some way be seeded that you can receive God's favor in a greater way. There's a story in the book of 2 Chronicles. The guy's name is Manasseh. He's not a very good guy. And I want to read two verses preceding the ones in your notes and then have you help me read those two. But let me start with verse 10 and tell you about Manasseh. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. Now, let me stop there. This guy didn't have God on his radar. I mean, he was just living a life. And God would speak to him, but he paid no attention. He had spiritual deafness. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose. Now, that's not very, that didn't feel very comfortable. He was taken prisoner, and they put a hook in his nose. He's being led around by this ring or hook, bound him with brown shackles and took him to Babylon. You know, it's interesting that when we're not listening to God, circumstances can come that kind of turn us to become a better listener. And so this guy was really off the charts. He wasn't even listening to God, and God brought this army against him. Now, let's read together verses 11 and 12 in your notes. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. I want you to pick up on a connection here. This guy is spiritually deaf. He has no interest in God. God has been speaking to him, but his heart remains hardened. He gets in a tough spot, and all of a sudden, the pressure of the circumstances makes him look towards heaven and have faith. And it says this, in his distress, wow, we can relate to that, right? He sought the favor of the Lord his God. Circle the word favor. I mean, the favor of God is, wow, it's something that he bestows on a person's life who follows him. Favor is an amazing thing. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God will just bestow it on people, listen, who walk in humility. It goes on to say, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly. You know what humble is? The definition is to bend the knee, to bow low before someone. And so God is looking for a heart that is just surrendered to him. When we bend the knee, when we bow low before him, and you know what happens? It attracts God's eye. It attracts his presence. It attracts favor. There's a connection between humility and favor. And all throughout the Bible, people who exercised and demonstrated humility, God draws close to them, and favor is connected to it. So what's that mean for you and me? When we get before God in our quiet time, I mean, we're talking face to face. This is my connection with Him. And I bow before Him in my heart. I bend the knee. I humble myself. And I start to listen. You know what happens? You have just opened the door to favor being poured forth into your life. They're connected. And we sow the seed for today into tomorrow for the favor of God. Many times I prayed, God, I want your favor. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it, but I want it. And you seek His face. And isn't it awesome to live in a place, God, I want to receive your favor into my life. This guy, I mean, he was just out there, but God showed him favor when he humbled himself. Boy, that encourages me. I mean, anybody here can find a sense of strength that regardless of what we've done, regardless of our past, if we humble ourselves in God's presence, His favor can be drawn close to us, and He bestows it and He blesses it. So, hey, when you think of humility, that's one way you seed the clouds. Get on your knees or have a quiet time today or tomorrow in God's presence. Humble yourself. You know what's going to happen? It'll catalyze the favor and the blessing of God into your life. Number two, the second seed that I'd like for us to consider is this. Generosity activates reciprocity. Generosity, this thing of living open-handed, being generous to other, it activates something in the kingdom of God. It just sets it free. It sets it in motion. A couple of verses in your notes. Let's read it together. We're familiar with this principle, but it reinforces it. Let's read it. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. When you're generous to somebody with your time, your talent, your money, you know what happens? It activates something in the kingdom. This is out of your control. It activates in the kingdom principle level a sense of reciprocity. God says that He will pour it back into your life. And we just have to be generous. And when you sow the seeds of generosity into someone's life or into the church or into the community, and you just do that over and over and over again, you know what happens? You set things in motion that God will reciprocate or pour back into your life. You know, I skipped over some slides earlier, and I goofed, and so I'm going to bring those in now. It's a great example of generosity. So, Allison, if you go back to the workday yesterday, here's a great example of some generous people. We had a workday yesterday, and some folks showed up, and let me show you what they did. Dusty was polyurethaning a couple doors out here. Here's Myron. He did some painting around the trim. And, okay, Mr. Charles is in the front yard. They were cleaning up rocks and did different things. All right. Ronlin, they're leveling the sign out here. And so when you drive past it, it's going to be just nice and level. And, okay, Pastor Jack, he was doing some painting on the entryway coming in. Here's the next one. Nick and I, we pulled steeple duty. We got to clean the steeple. That was fun. Here's a group shot. So these people got together. You know what they did? They gave their time, their talent. And they just did it because it's the church and they wanted to just be a blessing. And then the last person, which is maybe the most important one, was Priscilla. She fed us, so we were really happy then. But here's the point. When you give time to anything or your money or your talent, you set things in motion. And you know what it is? There's a reciprocity factor of reaping and of sowing and reaping. It's a kingdom principle. You can't get away from it. And when you do something, it sets it in motion. You seed the clouds. And here's the secret. God will bring it back into your life. It may not be the way you think it is or what you'd like to happen, but he will bring it back and bless you in a way that you hadn't thought about, or somebody steps into your life you didn't even realize they would do this, and you just get blessed by it. You know why? It's seeding the clouds with generosity. John D. Rockefeller, he had two goals in life. First was to make $100,000, and the second goal was to live to 100. Now, he fell short on the second one. He only lived to 97, all right? The first one, his goal was too low. He became the wealthiest man ever in terms of American history. Accounting for inflation back then, his net worth was about $340 billion. Okay, he lived in the 1800s. So, I mean, $340 billion back then was a lot of money. But I read where he tithed to his church. And, of course, we know Rockefeller gave many millions of dollars to foundations and charities, but you know what? He was seeding the clouds with what God gave him. We may not have that kind of a paycheck, but we can seed the clouds with what we do have. And so generosity activates reciprocity in the kingdom. We can all do that, and it's awesome to be a part of that. Okay, number three. The third way we can seed the clouds is this. Obedience sets the table for unborn tomorrows. Obedience. This is a simple concept. When you obey God, when he prompts you to do something, when you step up and you follow through, let me tell you, you are setting the table for an amazing tomorrow because obedience opens doors to greater blessing. This is a story about Paul, and he's on a missionary journey. Let's read it together. Acts 16:7-10. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. They had a plan. And then Paul has this vision or this instinct, this spiritual experience. I think we're supposed to do something else. Instead of going to enter Bithynia, they went to Macedonia. God intercepted their current plan and they went a different direction. Excuse me. Here's the point. Obedience is when we follow the prompting of God's Spirit. Now, there are times where We just know the right thing to do, and we have time to think about it, and we make decisions based on what's right. There's other times we have a few seconds to make decisions. Like God puts a prompting in our heart when somebody is speaking about someone or something, and it's inappropriate, and should I speak up or not? Or should I come to someone's defense? There's been times I got this right, and there's times I've miserably failed. The prompting of the Spirit is something we learn as we go through life. And here, obedience, when they stop going this direction and they follow the Spirit's leading, God just opened great doors and blessed them. You and I have to be obedient and listen to how the Spirit of God leads us. Our time, our money, our talents. Where's he leading me? What do I need to do? So here's the secret. Whenever we're obedient, it literally opens doors of blessing and favor going forward. Paul experienced that repeatedly. And so the challenge is, if you want to seed the clouds for tomorrow, you do what you know you need to do today. That's it. 24 hours. What do I need to follow God on? And in prioritizing him. I appreciate each of you coming out to the service this morning. 8:30 is the early bird run, and it takes effort to get up. Many people say, hey, this is the day I get to sleep in. This is the only day I have a rest. And it may be true, but I tell you what, God honors people who prioritize him and make him a part of the rhythm of the week. So he'll bless you just for being here, just for sitting in his presence. So obedience sets the table for unborn tomorrows. Finally, number four. The fourth way to seed the clouds for the future is this. Prayer releases the supernatural. Prayer releases the supernatural. In other words, if you and I spend time praying, you never know what God will do with our current circumstance. In our text, 1 Kings 18, let's read that together. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab sent off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. We've talked about this before. Elijah heard God's voice before anybody else. Hadn't rained over 3 years, and he heard the sound of heavy rain coming. And you know what he did? He went to prayer. And he told his servant, go look over the sea. Do you see any clouds? The servant went and he came back and said, I don't see anything. He sent the servant back seven times. Go look. You know why? He had heard something from God. You see, you can hear God's voice before anybody else. You're on the front edge of it. You know how you do that? You just spend time listening. And then he prayed it into existence. And at the seventh trip, the servant comes back and said, hey, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand in the distance. The cloud started getting bigger and bigger as it came closer. And then it started to rain. Prayer releases the supernatural. Yesterday, I saw a video on the news that really kind of touched my heart. It's a minute, 39 seconds. It's about two men that went into kidney failure, and their wives worked at the same office. And the video will explain what happened, but I want you to listen to what the one lady said at the very, very end of the video. It's a minute, 39. Let's listen.
Finally tonight, the longtime co-workers and the life-saving gifts. When Tia Wimbush's husband, Rodney, went into sudden kidney failure in 2019, it was the beginning of an emotional and improbable journey.
We've been married for 19 years. The day that he wasn't feeling well,
took me to the hospital, and then that's when they mentioned to me that my kidneys...
that his kidneys were failing.
Tia sits just a few cubicles apart from Susan Ellis, her longtime colleague at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. That very same week, Susan's husband Lance got the same dire diagnosis.
When I went to the hospital, they told me that I was in really bad kidney failure.
Within months, their husband's conditions worsened, each needing a transplant. Then, a chance conversation in the office restroom.
We started talking about blood types. Susan mentioned that her husband is O negative, and it was like a light bulb moment went off in my head, and I was thinking, I'm O. And she said that she's A, and my husband is A also.
That light bulb moment set off a flurry of activity to confirm the two women were good matches to donate a kidney to the other's husband. Fast forward to this March, the transplant operations successful. And just this week, the two co-workers back on the job together.
What I hope people take away is that they will consider that they could be someone else's answered prayer.
She said, I hope people consider that somehow, some way, they could be somebody else's answered prayer. I couldn't help but thinking, it was a very moving story. Two unrelated families, the two ladies worked at the same place. They both went into kidney failure the same week. they're talking in the restroom about blood types, and they were a match for each other's husband, for the other husband. And I tell you what, an amazing story. And I couldn't help but think, that had to be a lot of prayer going up. I mean, how do you explain that? Other than somebody, I think the moms, especially the wives and the families, were just praying, God help us. And the same week, the two went into kidney failure at the same time. And yet they had, God had a kidney donator lined up. Let me tell you, the power of prayer is amazing and powerful. Here's what Mark Batterson says about prayer. I love this quote. When you pray to God regularly, irregular things will happen on a regular basis. I mean, when you and I just seed the clouds with prayer on a regular basis, irregular and amazing things are going to happen because that's who God is. And that's what happened to this couple. Well, you know, last week I talked about the 10-day prayer challenge, and I don't know if you're in on that, but whenever you commit to a serious time of prayer just to make God bring him closer to your life, let me tell you, amazing things can happen. You know why? You're seeding the clouds. That's what happened with Pentecost when they prayed 10 days prior to the Holy Spirit being poured out. Well, I'm going to go back to the big idea of the message and wrap this up. When you seed the clouds, it's all about sowing today what you want to see tomorrow. You sow today what you want to see tomorrow. Humility draws the favor of God into your life. Generosity, it's going to activate reciprocity. Let God just bless you in different ways. That is the excitement about the Christian life. You just never know what God will do. Number three, obedience. Make a decision, a pre-decision. God, what you prompt me to do, I want to do it. I want to be a blessing to other people. Number four, prayer releases the supernatural. And when God finds a group of people like us that are willing to commit to seeding the clouds for the future, it's amazing what he will do. In the book of Joshua, it says, consecrate yourself today, and the Lord will do amazing things. So we just want to give ourselves to him and let him work in us and through us. Let's pray. Father, we're challenged this morning just to be the better version of who we are for the sake of our families and world. Thank you that we can intentionally seed the clouds of our future with things that we do today that can be a blessing tomorrow. I pray for each person here today. You will give them a renewed sense of commitment, of passion and excitement, that they can be a seed sower in the future clouds of their life. And God, you will just bless us individually and as a congregation. And for this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.